الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأصفياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تركتكم على البيضاء ليلها ونهارها سواء وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قالوا ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected Ulama, Elders, Brothers in Islam, sisters listening at home, and my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The Muslims world over love their beloved Nabi, beloved Rasul, beloved Messenger, more than anything besides him. He is more dearer to them than their parents, than their children, than their own lives. He is more beloved to them than their own lives. And the books of history are filled with episodes that bear testimony to this fact. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Ghadi, a great saint and a great scholar of the Indian subcontinent, very beautifully says in his Urdu couplets, Aap hi hain maqsood hamare, dil ke ujale aankh ke tare, aap pe meri jaan hai kurma, aap hain mujhko jaan se pyare, aap hi hain maqsood hamare, you are our only objective. My late Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, used to say that for a life of a Muslim, the Qibla is the life of the son of Amina. Before doing anything, a Muslim turns towards the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How did my beloved Nabi conduct himself in these circumstances? And thereafter he conducts himself accordingly. Aap hi hai maqsood hamare. You are our objective, you are our qibla, you are our goal. If we study your life, if we follow in your footsteps, then we will acquire the success of this world and the success of the life hereafter. Agar jannat ka irada hai tum tamam hi ka, if you all wish to go in Jannah, agar jannat ka irada hai tum tamam hi ka, if you all wish to go in Jannah, you will have to become the slaves of Muhammad. You will have to strictly follow his life. Agar jannat ka irada hai tum tamam hi ka, to gale mein tok dal do Muhammad ki gulami ka. Aap hi hai maqsood hamare. Dil ke ujale, aankh ke tare. You are the light of my heart and you are the coolness of my eyes. Aap pe meri jaan hai qurba. For you I can sacrifice even my life. For you I can sacrifice even my life. Aap pe meri jaan hai qurba. Why? Aap hai mujhko jaan se pyare. Because you are more beloved to me than my own life. And this is a condition for iman. A person cannot become a believer until he loves his messenger more than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad ki mohabbat deen haq ki shart awwal hai. The love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the first condition for a person to become a believer. If there is any shortcoming, if there is any fault, if there is any loose end in the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then everything is useless. Salat is useless, fasting is useless, zakat is useless, hajj is useless. Muhammad ki muhabbat deen haq ki shart awwal hai. Usi mein ho agar khami to sab kuch na mukammal hai. The love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the first condition for a person to become a believer. If there is any fault in this condition, then everything is useless. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself states, this is the riwayah of Bukhari Sharif, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. One of you cannot be a mu'min. None of you can be a mu'min until and unless I do not become more beloved to him than his father, than his children, than the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لا يؤمن احدكم حتى اكون احب اليه من والده وولده والناس اجمعين. None of you can become a perfect believer. He is talking to Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Bilal, Talha, Zubair, Saad. Great companions who were the first audience of this hadith. He said, none of you can become a perfect believer until I do not become more beloved to him than his parents, than his children, than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon hearing this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, very quickly remarked and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, أنت أحب إلي من كل شيء إلا من نفسي. O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except my life. My life is more beloved to me than your life. We all know the position of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith that when Umar is treading a path and shaitan is treading the same path, when shaitan observes Umar coming, he changes his path. لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. I am the final messenger. There is no Nabi to come after me. But if by any chance there was to be another Nabi after me, Allah would have chosen Umar to be that Nabi. In Bukhari Sharif, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself says, وَافَقَنِي رَبِّي فِي ثَلَاثِ أَوْ وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي فِي ثَلَاثِ. There were three instances when I gave a mashwara to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, we should do this like this. It is my opinion that we should do this. It is my opinion that we should perform this action like this. O Messenger of Allah, it is my opinion that you should not take part in this activity. Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that there were three instances when I gave mashwara to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, my sharia is not decreed by me. My sharia is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam supporting the view of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullahi alayhi has counted approximately more than 25 instances in the Quran where Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave an opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, my shariat is not made here. I have no authority to make halal, haram and haram, halal. Everything comes from there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the view of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is in another hadith. That is why in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Inna Allah yantiku ala lisani Umar. When Umar speaks, it is his tongue, but the word is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kana fi man kana qablakum muhaddasun, wa in yaku ahadun fi ummati fakana Umar. In the people before you, there were always companions of every prophet who were inspired haq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is anybody in my ummat, it is Umar. Such great personality. Such great personality. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on the spot counted 10 sahaba and he said, Abu Bakrin fil jannah, Umar fil jannah, Uthman fil jannah, Ali fil jannah. He gave glad tiding of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu of being a person of the people of paradise. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam climbed the Mount Uhud. And the Mount Uhud started to shake. With him were Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had a staff in his hand. He struck the Mount Uhud with his staff and he said, Uthbut ya Uhud. O Uhud, stop. Do you not realize فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ نَبِيٌّ وَصِدِّيقٌ وَشَهِيدَانِ. Do you not realize that there is a Nabi and there is a Siddiq and there are two Shaheeds standing upon you? Why are you shaking? Such a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said, when he heard this statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that none of you can be a perfect believer. None of you can be a believer until I do not become more beloved to him than his parents, than his children, than the whole creation. So Umar said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this incident is also recorded in Bukhari Sharif. Anta ahabbu ilayya min kulli shay'in. You are more beloved to me than anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are more beloved than my father, my children, my wife, my wealth, anything. But my life is more beloved to me than your life. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Umar, if that is the case, then your iman is not complete yet. Your iman is not complete. Thereafter, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu pondered over the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he assessed himself mentally. He assessed the feelings of his heart. And with that, the spiritual attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, changed this inner feeling of Umar, changed this inner condition of Umar, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, suddenly I find a change within me, and now the condition is very different. You are more beloved to me than anything, even my own life. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ana ya Umar, al-ana ya Umar. O Umar, now you are a perfect believer. Now you are a perfect believer. Muhammad hai mata'e alame ijad se piyara, pidar, madar, biradar, malo, jaan, aulad se piyara. This is our belief. And without this belief, there will always be fault in our iman. And alhamdulillah, this belief has been held for 1426 years by Muslims throughout the world, whichever sect they may belong to. What is the belief? Muhammad hai mata'e alame ijad se piyara. Muhammad is more beloved to me than the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pidar, mother, father, mother. Pidar, mother, birader, brother. Father, mother, brother, malo, jaan, wealth and life, aulad and children, se piyara. He is more beloved than anything else. He is so beloved that Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, the renowned scholar of the Muslim world, states that the Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in loved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam so much that if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave them this choice, that if you all sacrifice your lives, if you all give away your lives, Abu Bakr's life, Aisha's life, how precious. Khalid bin Walid, how precious his life was. Saad ibn Abi Waqqas, how precious. Umar, how precious. Abu Huraira, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar. Approximately 114 to 124,000 Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain's lives. Not one, not two, not 100, not 200. 124,000 approximately Sahaba. They loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that if Allah was to say to them that if you all give your lives away, then I will increase the life of your beloved Nabi by 1 second. 1 second. Then Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani says that the Sahaba would not have hesitated. In order to bring an increase of 1 second in the life of the beloved, they would all have been prepared to sacrifice their lives. The question that boggles the minds of the non-Muslims is, why is Muhammad so beloved to the Muslims? Why is Muhammad so beloved to the Muslims? They cannot understand the admiration we have for our beloved. They cannot understand the love we have for our beloved. They cannot understand the hurt and the pain that it causes the Muslim Ummah, be he an adult or be he a small child, be he a scholar or be he an ignorant person from the Islamic perspective. Why so much pain? Why so much hurt? Why so much love? Why so much admiration? In order to understand the answer to this mind-boggling question, we need to ask another question. Why does a person love something or someone? What are the elements that forces a person to love something or someone? Allama Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala, the famous commentator on Bukhari Sharif, states that there are three elements which forces a person to love another person. Element number one, beauty. Beauty forces a person to love that item which has beauty. There is a beautiful scene. You are forced to love that scene. You have no control over yourself. Anything that has beauty will force you to love that item. You have no control over yourself. So one element is beauty. When something is beautiful, when someone is handsome, when a person observes beauty, he will be forced to love that item that possesses this beauty. Element number two, excellence. If somebody has an excellent quality, someone who is interested in football, then anyone who is excellent in playing football will attract his attention. He will have no choice but to admire that person. Somebody who is an academic in the Islamic field, if he comes across somebody who is excellent in his academics, in the field of hadith, in the science of tafsir, in the science of fiqh, he will be compelled to admire him. He will have no choice. So beauty forces a person to love that object that has beauty. Excellence, kamal, quality, forces a person to love that object which has quality, which has excellence, which has kamal, which has virtue. And what is the third element? If one confers favor upon another person, then the person who is favored will fall in love with that person and will admire that person who has been favorable to him. This is natural. A person will always admire and love that person who has done favor to him. A person will always admire and love that person who has excellence, who has some excellent quality. A person will always love that person who has beauty. We come across somebody who has some virtue, some excellence, but he is not handsome and he has not conferred any favor upon us. Despite that, we will fall in love with him. We will admire him. Only one element is there. We come across another person who does not have any excellence, who has not conferred any favors upon us, but he is handsome. We will fall in love with him. We will admire him. And we have a third person who is not handsome, who has no excellent quality, but he has conferred a favor upon us, we will fall in love with him. We will admire him. We will find space for him in our heart. If one element is enough, one average element is enough to force a person to love him, then what can we think about that person who possesses all the three elements and all the three elements to the highest degree? He was not only handsome, he was the most handsome. And he did not have only one excellence, he was the embodiment of excellence. And he did not confer only one favor upon us. The humanity from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam until the day of Qiyamah is indebted to that Nabi. And not only in this world, the humanity is indebted to him in the Alamul Arwah, and the humanity will be indebted to him on the day of Qiyamah also. Sahaba-e Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmain say, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ahsanan nasi wajaha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was the most handsome person. Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Wa ahsanu minka lam tara qattu ayni, wa ajmalu minka lam talidin nisa'u, khuliqta mubarra'an min kulli aybin, ka'annaka qad khuliqta kama tasha'u. My eyes have not seen anyone more handsome than you. And no mother has ever given birth to any child who can excel you in beauty. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. When I look at you from head to toe, I find everything perfect. Your ears are perfect, your nose is perfect, your eyes are perfect, your head is perfect, your tongue is perfect, your lips are perfect, your fingers are perfect, everything is perfect. When I look at your body from head to toe and when I come to this conclusion that you are so perfect, then this thought crosses my mind, كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. When Allah was creating you, He was asking you that, Oh Muhammad, how shall I create your nose? How shall I create your eyes? And Allah has created you the way you wanted to be created. A sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked by his students, can you describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for me, for us? Can you describe Rasulullah? Because they were those people who did not see Rasulullah, they were very eager to know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked like. Can you describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for us? So the sahabi very simply said, لَوْ رَأَيْتَهُ رَأَيْتَ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعَةً. If you had seen the Nabi coming towards you, you would have felt as if the sun is rising in the morning. Ali karramallahu wajhahu, in a long hadith, explains the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was like this, he was like this, he was like this, he was like this. And then he concludes by saying, يَقُولُ نَعِيْتُهُ يَقُولُ نَعِيْتُهُ. One who was given the responsibility to explain the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would simply have to say, لَمْ أَرَ مِثْلَهُ لَا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ قَتُّ. My eyes have never seen anything like him, neither before him nor after him. Allahu Akbar, what beauty, what beauty. Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, لَوَاحِ زُلَيْخَ لَوْ رَأَيْنَ جَبِينَهُ لَآثَرْنَ قَتْعَ الْقُلُوبِ عَلَى الْأَيْدِي. If the friends of Zulaikha had seen the face of my beloved husband, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, they lost their senses and they said, مَا هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This cannot be a human. He is so handsome that he is an angel. And Instead of cutting the fruits that were in their hands, they cut their fingers. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say that when they saw the friends of Zulaikha, when they saw the beauty of Yusuf, instead of cutting the fruits, they cut their fingers. If they had seen the beauty of my husband, they would have cut their hearts. They would have given their lives away. She says, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu, fa shamsi khayrum min shamsi samai, wa shamsu samai tatlu'u ba'da fajrin, wa shamsi tatlu'u ba'da al-isha'i. She says that we have two suns. One is the sun, bright in the sky, shining. And the other is the sun which is walking around in the streets of Madina Munawwara. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu. The skies and the heavens have their sun, and we have another sun in Madina Munawwara. Fashamsi khayrum min shamsi samai. My sun in Madina Munawwara is far more greater and better in virtue than the sun that is shining in the heavens. Why? She says, Fashamsu samai tatlu'u ba'da fajrin. The sun that is shining in the horizon, in the heavens, rises in the morning after the world has already become enlightened. When you come out of the masjid after Fajr Salat, the sun has not risen yet, but the light is there. Everything is light. There is no darkness. So the sun comes out after the world has become enlightened. And she says, Washamsi tatlu'u ba'da al-isha'i. And my sun is so enlightened that when he enters my room after the Isha Salat and when he smiles through the sparkle of the light that comes out of his teeth, I can even find the needle lying in the darkness of the night. He was not only handsome, he was the most handsome. He was the most handsome. Ya sahib al jamal wa ya sayyid al bashar, min wajhika al munir laqad nuwwira al qamar. Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Ya sahib al jamal, O the one full of beauty, wa ya sayyid al bashar, O the leader of humanity, min wajhika al munir laqad nuwwira al qamar. The moon, the 14th moon, or the moon shining in the heavens has derived its light from your face. Min wajhika al munir laqad nuwwira al qamar. La yumkinu sana'u kama kana haqquhu. La yumkinu sana'u kama kana haqquhu. It is not possible to praise you as you are worthy of praise. Ba'das khuda buzurg tu'i qissa mukhtasar. In short, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one more virtuous than you are. He was not only handsome, my friends, he was the most handsome. So an average handsome person, if he attracts our attention and if we are compelled to love that person, then somebody who is the most handsome, will he not compel us to love him? And his ihsan, his favors upon the ummah, upon the whole humanity. Har taraf teergi thi na thi roshni. This world was full of darkness when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived into this world. Har taraf teergi thi na thi roshni. There was not a ray of light. There was darkness all over. Aap aaye to sabko mili roshni. It is through your advent that humanity was able to acquire light, through that light, they came out of ignorance. All the sciences that we see progressing today in this world, or all the progresses that we see through the sciences in this world today, those sciences were derived from the ultimate book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quranul Majid, and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If he had not brought the Quran, if he had not left behind his ahadith, his sayings, his teachings, the world would not have been able to establish the sciences. And if the world would not have been able to establish the sciences, there would have been no progress in those sciences. And if there was no progress in those sciences, the world would not have seen the luxuries and the progress that we are seeing today. So the whole humanity is indebted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole humanity. And in the Alamul Arwah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Everybody is there. Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? The answer was yes, you are our Rabb. Definitely you are our Rabb. But in the court of Allah, what is the best answer that I can give? That was a question for everybody. It was a question for Adam alayhi salam, it was a question for Dawood alayhi salam, it was a question for Harun alayhi salam. Alastu bi rabbikum, we know the answer. But which words will show most respect in the court of Allah? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alastu bi rabbikum, all the ummats in the alamul arwah started to look towards their anbiya. And all the anbiya looked towards Muhammad. What is Muhammad saying? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alastu bi rabbikum, Muhammad said, Bala. When he said, Bala, all the anbiya received guidance. They all said, Bala. And when they said, Bala, all the ummats received guidance and they said, Bala. So the whole humanity is indebted to him in the alamul arwa. The whole humanity is indebted to him in this world. And the whole humanity will be indebted to him on the day of Qiyamah also. All the people will get together and they will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not initiating the hisab. No reckoning is taking place and we are sick and tired. We want to know what is our ultimate outcome. So let us go to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and ask Adam alayhi salatu wa salam to intercede for us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the hisab. This is known as the Shafa'atul Kubra. So a delegation of this, not this ummah, a delegation of the whole humanity will go to Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam will say, I do not see myself fit to do this. Go to Ibrahim. He will say, I do not see myself fit to do this. Go to Nuh. He will say, I do not see myself fit to do this. Go to Musa. He will say, I do not see myself fit to do this. Go to Isa. He will say, I do not see myself fit to do this. Go to Muhammad. When everybody will go to Muhammad, he will not say, I do not see myself fit to do this. He will say, Analaha, Analaha. Yes, I have been created to do this. I have been created to do this. He will go in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole humanity is waiting for the reckoning to start. He will prostrate and he says that only Allah will inspire the words of praise to me. I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 500 years. For the whole humanity, he will praise Allah for 500 years. And after 500 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak, raise your head. Sal tu'tah, ask, you will be granted. Washfa' tushaffa', intercede, your intercession will be accepted. So he will say, O Allah, the first intercession that I am making is, start the reckoning, start the account. Everybody is in a lot of grief and a lot of pain. Start the account. We will be all, the whole humanity, the followers of Isa alayhi salam, followers of Musa alayhi salam, followers of Dawood alayhi salam will be indebted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hereafter as well. Now the muhaddisin and the commentators of hadith have posed a question here. They have posed this question that when this delegation will be formed, and they will go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, or rather they will choose to go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Who will inspire them to go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, no, go to Nuh alayhi salam. Who will inspire them to do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that it is only Muhammad who is going to be able to do this? Ibrahim will not be able to do this. Adam will not be able to do this. Musa will not be able to do this. It is only Muhammad who is going to do this. Why will Allah not inspire them to take a shortcut and go direct to Muhammad? The muhaddisin have posed this question. And after posing this question, they have answered by saying that if the people had gone to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, then the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam would have said, oh, if we had gone to Isa, he would have been able to do this. And the followers of Dawood would have said, if we had gone to Dawood, he would have done this. And the followers of Ibrahim would have said, if we had gone to Ibrahim, Ibrahim would have been able to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inspiring them to go to every superior Nabi, so that it becomes very, very clear on the day of Qiyamah that what Muhammad is doing today, no one else can do in my creation. So he is the most handsome, and the favors that he has conferred upon his ummah and upon humanity, no other person has conferred the same ihsanat and the same favor. And as far as the excellence is concerned, he is the embodiment of excellence. One only needs to study his life. We very politely ask our Muslim friends and also non-Muslim friends, for Allah's sake, for God's sake, whoever you believe, study the life of this great messenger in order to understand what he was, who he was. Try to understand him. Read him. Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says regarding his excellencies, jahan ke saare kamalat ek tujh mein hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you the embodiment of excellences. Jahan ke saare kamalat ek tujh mein hai. Allah has made you the embodiment of excellences. He says himself, Ana sayyidu wulde adama yawm al qiyamati wala fakhra. I will be the leader of humanity on the day of qiyamah. I will be the leader of humanity on the day of qiyamah. Such high position. But look at the degree of humbleness that he has. He says, wala fakhra. I am not proud because this has been conferred upon me by my creator. Ana sayyidu wulde adama yawm al qiyamati wala fakhra. You will seldom find two things meeting together, such high position and such high degree of humbleness. Ana sayyidu wulde adama yawm al qiyamati wala fakhra. Ana hamilu liwa il hamdi yawm al qiyamati wala fakhra. I will be holding the flag of hamd on the day of qiyamah, and all the anbiya and the ummats will be walking behind me. Ana awwalu man yaqra'u bab al jannati wala fakhra. I will be the first one to knock on the door of Jannah. Ana awwalu shafi'in wa awwalu mushaffa'in. I will be the first to intercede on the day of qiyamah, and I will be that person whose intercession will be accepted first on the day of qiyamah. Innal jannata hurrimat 'alal anbiya'i hatta adkhulaha wa innal jannata hurrimat 'alal umami hatta tadkhulaha ummati. Jannat is haram, jannat is forbidden upon all the prophets until I enter jannat, and jannat is haram upon all the nations and all the ummats until my ummat enters jannah. Embodiment of excellences. And friends and foes both have accepted this fact. I would like to quote to you just statements of three well-known people. Lamartine said he was a philosopher, orator, apostle, legislator, warrior, conqueror of ideas, restorer of rational doctrines, of a religion without images, the founder of 20 terrestrial empires and of one spiritual empire. That is Muhammad. As regards all standards by which human greatness may be measured, we may well ask, is there any man greater than he? This is a confession of a non-Muslim scholar. And after studying the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, George Bernard Shaw makes this statement, I have studied him. After studying the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I have studied him, the wonderful man, and in my opinion, far from being an antichrist, he must be called the savior of humanity. And another non-Muslim, Pandit Gayananda Dev Sharma Shastri, at a meeting in Gorakhpur, India, said, that is the critics of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who criticize Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do they see? This non-Muslim scholar says, they see fire instead of light. They see
Fire instead of light, ugliness instead of good, they distort and present every good quality as a great vice. It reflects their own depravity. The critics are blind. They cannot see that the only sword Muhammad wielded was the sword of mercy, compassion, friendship, and forgiveness. The critics cannot see that the only sword Muhammad wielded was the sword of mercy, compassion, friendship, and forgiveness. The sword that conquers enemies and purifies their hearts. His sword was sharper than the sword of steel. If we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and try to propagate that seerah verbally and practically, our non-Muslims friends will be able to understand why we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. He had all the three elements that attract somebody's love, that forces and that compels somebody to love another person. And all three elements to a highest degree. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent upon the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to love him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us such a great Nabi, such a great Nabi, such a great Nabi, should we not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And should we not attach ourselves to this great Nabi? Should we not attach ourselves to the teachings of this great Nabi? Should we not become the ambassadors of this great Nabi? Should we not become the role models of this great Nabi? Let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will continue to grow in our hearts. Our loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will continue to grow. And we will learn the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will make sure that we become a good example for Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And we will make sure that we are resurrected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. I would like to conclude with the couplets recited just before me by one of our students at Jamia Riyazul Ulum. Ridicule me if you care. Call me crazy, but I'll love him anyway. Ridicule me if you care. Make fun of me if you care. Call me crazy, but I'll love him anyway. There is nothing that is in this world to keep me from following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I don't care what people say. I'll follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way. This is where I would like to conclude. I don't care what people say, I'll follow Muhammad in every way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.